2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, verse 4. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And you say amen. You may be seated. This is part four of my series on another gospel. Another gospel. Amen. We have to understand that we're living in an unprecedented hour. That the deception, amen, is often greater, and I mean in scope, than it is the reality and the truth of the gospel. It's not greater in power, but it's greater in scope and in influence. Amen, because we see so much deception today. Amen, I've said it, but there's more false being preached today than there is true being preached.
Amen.
And even in some good churches, I have found that oftentimes the devil has made inroads into those churches with false teaching. Sometimes it's not so much what they say, it's what they don't say, amen, that brings destruction. For instance, a church may be preaching on Christ, but they're not telling people to repent. They're failing to preach the whole gospel. Amen, because I'm going to tell you, the Bible makes it clear that men must repent.
Amen.
You know, today we replace the word repent with accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Or ask Jesus into your heart. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to say those things necessarily, but that's not Bible terminology. You'll never find in the Bible where they ever said, why don't you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Or ask Jesus into your heart. But you'll find the preachers preaching and telling people to repent. There is a difference. Amen. And what we have so much today is an absence of truth in many churches. And that's why I've been compelled to preach on this series of another gospel. Amen. So far we've dealt with repentance. We've dealt with the blood of Jesus. We've dealt with the lordship of Christ. We've dealt with the fear of the Lord. We've dealt with the law and the Christian. And last week we also dealt with the ecumenical movement. Today I want to deal with the prosperity movement, and I want to deal with the subject of judgment. We need to understand these two things. Amen. God help us. Amen. But there's subtle, amen, differences that have entered into our churches that are bringing great harm. And it's our duty as a people, and it's our duty as preachers to warn people of the error.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The prosperity movement goes by a lot of different names. Just so you know what I'm speaking about here today, let me just share a few of those names with you. Sometimes it's called the faith movement. Sometimes it's called the word of faith movement. Sometimes it's referred to as the health and wealth gospel. Even some people refer to it as name it and claim it. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's even referred to as a charismatic movement, or new thought, or positive confession. We must beware of this self-centered, covetous message, or it makes man the center of the gospel rather than Jesus Christ. Amen. I told you in Sunday school, amen, the appeal of this gospel is that it appeals to you and I, to our natural desire to succeed. Amen. There's not a one of us in here that doesn't want to do better than they're doing right now. There's nothing wrong with that if it's kept in its proper perspective. There's not a one of you in here don't want to get a raise on your job. Wouldn't like to have a better car or a better home to live in. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that consumes you and becomes the focus of your life, absolutely, and you lose focus of Christ. I didn't come to church this morning, Sister Brenda, amen, so God could give me a bigger bigger car. I didn't come to church this morning, oh, he'd give me a bigger house. I came this morning because I'm in love with him. I came because I want to see what he would have me to do for him. It's not just about what he can do for me. It's about what I can do for him. And when the church becomes so selfish and all they can see is money and things, they've lost their way.
Amen.
They've lost the way. And the prosperity gospel appeals to our desire to succeed. It appeals to our desire to do better, to have more. All of those things are wonderful in their proper perspective. But the church's focus should never be on things. It should always be on him. Oh, come on, somebody. Help me preach this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's about Jesus. It's not about us. If it becomes about us and we're humanistic and we're not Christ-centered anymore, and there's a danger of us being deceived.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The false gospel is a me gospel. It is about gratifying self rather than serving Christ. Amen. Let me boil down their false message in a few statements so to help you understand what they're teaching. Now, I'm going to try to use the words of these false teachers. Hallelujah. I've got quotes from a number of them, so bear with me. Some of these quotes will offend you. Come on. Some of these quotes will make you uncomfortable because these teachings are so far out there. Amen. Let me read verse 1. This is just a compilation of what they teach. Amen. Speak and it will come. Amen. Steve Muncy. Amen. This is actually the title of one of his books. Speak and it will come. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, you just can't speak things into existence. Amen. Amen. If that's the case, Lord, just pile some money up right here. It don't work like that. There has to be a relationship with Christ that's predicated on my obedience to him. I can't just speak things out. Amen. Faith is not magic. There's a difference between the two.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Gloria Copeland said, God's will is prosperity. Now, folks, she's not talking about prospering in her walk with Christ. She's talking about prospering with things of the world. Amen. Number 3, Kenneth Copeland said, by getting the word deep into your spirit and speaking it boldly out of your mouth, you release spiritual power to change things in natural circumstances. Kenneth Copeland said, on the cross, Jesus won the right for believers to be born again back into the God class. Adam was created not subordinate to God, but as a God. He said Adam was not created subordinate to God, but he was created a God. Amen. He lost it, and in Christ we're taken back and becoming a God class. Amen. Listen to me, folks. You and I'll never be God. Amen. Come on. He's God. I'm his servant. I'm the creature. He's the creator. Hallelujah. Kenneth Copeland went on to say, I was shocked when I found out, listen to this, I was shocked when I found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually is. The biggest failure is God. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, my God's never been a failure. He ain't never made a mistake. He's never had to say, I'm sorry. He never had to apologize. My God's never been a failure.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul Crouch said this, I'm eradicating the word Protestant even out of my vocabulary. I'm not protesting anything. It's time for Catholics and non-Catholics to come together as one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that's heresy. I said, that's heresy. There's no way we can bow down to Rome. There's no way we can bow down to Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, even in abominations of the earth. We must not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Paul Crouch said this, I am a little God. I am a little God. Critics, be gone. Come on, folks. Don't you see the danger in such a belief? Amen. Kenneth Hagin said this, believe it in your heart, say it in your mouth. That is the principle of faith. You can have what you say. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read you another one. Hallelujah. There's one of them in here. I'll take your breath away. Just stay with me here. Hallelujah. I got too many notes. Hallelujah. This one right here is very offensive. So, amen. Creflo Dollar said, and so when two Christians who are both members of the body of Christ decide to engage in sexual activity, then what you're really doing is you're having sex with Jesus. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's gross. You're having sex with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, folks, that offends me. Well, come on. I'm telling you, these people are not just slightly off. They're way off.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Creflo Dollar went on to say, well, you need to hear about money. Because if you ain't got, he said, because you ain't going to have no joy, you ain't going to have no love or peace until you get some money. I'm going to tell you, money's not what makes a man happy. I'm going to tell you what my joy, amen, righteousness, the kingdom of God, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Benny Hinn said, I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold in heaven. I don't need gold in heaven. I need gold right now. Well, come on. He won't get no gold in heaven, I can tell you. John Avanzini said Jesus was handling big money because that treasure he had was a thief. Now, you can't tell me that a ministry with a treasurer that's a thief can operate on a few pennies. It took big money to operate that ministry because Judas was stealing out of the bag. If you have a treasure, that means you have a lot of money. He's teaching that Jesus was wealthy. Come on. Amen. Joyce Meyer said, you cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. Oh, I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't have to suffer in hell to save me. He suffered on the cross to save me. Well, come on, somebody. Amen. I have to look at the Scripture. Do the Scriptures agree with these crazy fanatics? These nuts. Hallelujah. Should wealth be the goal of the Christian? Matthew 19, verses 23 and 24 says, Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6 and 24 says, but woe unto you that are rich, you have received your consolation now. Luke 12, Jesus told the parable of the rich man that tore down his barns and built bigger ones. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish you'd hear me. Hallelujah. At the end, the man said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and when whose those and then whose those things be shall be. Amen. What you have provided. Amen. So it is that he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said, having food and raiment, we ought to be content. He said, they that are rich will fall into temptation, into a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lust, which drive men to destruction and to perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some having coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. O thou man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. I'm on James 2 and 5 said, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom of God? I want you to hear me this morning. It ain't about things. It's not about money. It's not about houses or cars. It's about Christ. I'm going to tell you, if I'm full of joy, I'm a rich man.
Yeah,
hallelujah. I'm a rich man if I'm filled with joy and love and peace. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to listen to these people long enough. They'll tell you if you're poor, that means you got sin in your life. I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. And as a preacher in the pulpit, I'm going to blow the trumpet. There are churches, amen, that are all around us, amen, that are listening to these nuts, quoting these people. Amen. They need to pray through and repent. Amen. Because if they don't, they're going to miss heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we speak anything into existence? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 outlines the type of prayer that you and I are to pray. It said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, that we desired of Him. I'm only the secret to prayer. It's not me asking what I want. It's asking what He wants.
Amen.
James 4 and 3 says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, it ain't a matter of me getting everything I want. It's a matter of me being everything He wants me to be. He wants me to be a servant. Amen. If He gives me a lot of wealth, it's only because He wants me to channel that through my life to the ministry. Oh, God, help us to focus on Him again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Was Jesus materially wealthy while He ministered on earth? 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Now we understand He's not just talking about wealth there. Amen. Amen. We're going to become rich in the things of God. Amen. But I want you to know Jesus stepped down from glory. Amen. Folks, He lived in the best place there is to live. He lived in heaven of heavens. Amen. But He condescended to our low estate. Amen. He became like us so that one day He can make us, amen, what He wants us to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Luke 9 and 58 says, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place where to lay His head. Come on, John Avanzini, where you are? Where are you right now? Come on. Amen. I'm going to tell you, He talks about Jesus having all this wealth. It ain't about wealth in this world. It's about wealth in Christ. Amen. I live in a trailer house, but I'm a rich man this morning. I said I'm a rich man. You want to know why? Because I slept without guilt last night. I got up happy with joy. The Lord is my strength. I'm going to walk this week with Jesus. Amen. And when that trumpet sounds, I'm going to leave here with a shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did Jesus have to suffer in hell to save us? Colossians chapter 1 verses 20 through 22. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, they all teach that Jesus had to go to hell and He burned in the flames of hell for those 3 days, and that's what saved you. Hell don't save nobody. But it's what He did on the cross, a shedding of His blood. And I got news for them. He didn't go to hell to suffer. He went to hell to liberate the spirits of just men and bring them back to glory. Amen. He went there with the keys of death, hell, and seized them. Amen. Come on. I want you to know He's victorious. He didn't go down, amen, a victim. He went down a victor. Woo, hallelujah. It makes me angry when they preach that kind of junk. I didn't put it in my notes, but Joyce Myers and Kenneth Copeland both said Jesus was the first born again man. I'm going to tell you, Jesus wasn't born again. He was born right about the first time. He's born of a virgin. He didn't have to be born again. You and I have to be. Amen. If Jesus required, He meant to be born again, then He was born in sin. And He was a sinner. He was never a sinner. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish. Come on. He's free. He's holy. There's nothing wrong in Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we little gods? Genesis chapter 3 verse 4 and 5. The first lie. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to tell you, the devil's still able to get people to believe that lie. He lied to Eve. He's lying to Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer and all the rest of them, and telling them that they're little gods. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a god. You're not a god. He is. Yes, I am a son of God. But there is a distinct difference. Amen. He created. Amen. I'm just a created being. Amen. I'm glad He created me. But I'll never be equal to Him. Hallelujah. Now we can see there's a major divergence from what the Bible actually teaches and what these so-called faith teachers say. Most of the television ministries today are associated with the prosperity movement. Most of the mega churches are associated with the prosperity movement. Many radio preachers are associated with this movement. Even the Bible bookstores are full of books written by these prosperity faith teachers. What are we to do? I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to be faithful to a good home church. And we need to be faithful there. And we need to know those that preach to us. We need to study the Bible for ourselves. We need to pray and have a daily talk with the Lord every day. Come on. You don't need television ministries. You've got the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. You've got everything you need in a good church. You've got what you need to make it.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. You got a bunch of them crazy faith teacher books at home, go home and clean it out. Throw them in the fire. Burn them. Come on. Bunch of garbage. Hallelujah. Celebrity ministries. You know, America's eat up with celebrity. Eat up with it. Woo, they've always liked celebrities, but it's taken on a new dimension today. I mean, you can go back. The early Hollywood, man, they like celebrities then. But it's so much more today. It's so much. I mean, they got sports celebrities, music celebrities, television celebrities, movie celebrities. Now we got preacher celebrities. Whew. Hallelujah. People running up to the stage of these ministries wanting their autograph. Come on. I'm going to tell you what, folks. There's danger in that. Amen. I'm not here to get the autograph of some man. Amen. I'm here to glorify Christ. And if all they can see is me, amen, something's wrong.
Amen.
Well, glory. I just kind of snickered a little bit. I preached that one time, and Sister Susie, she loved to pull things on me. She ran up after church and said, "Can I have your autograph?" Well, glory. I said, "You better get out of here before I pray for you." Hallelujah. But the thing is, folks, we got to watch out for that. Amen. All of a sudden, amen, you begin to put these people on a pedestal and they become a god to you. And they take the place of Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. Talking about the prosperity movement. Number two. I'm only dealing with two every time I preach. The second one is another gospel and judgment. I've said this many times, but this is the eighth area of misrepresentation of the truth. This is one subject that I've spoken a lot about here. Hallelujah. Their favorite scripture is Matthew 7:1. "Judge not that you be not judged." Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, everybody, it's become the 11th commandment in the church. You can't judge nobody. And I've said it so many times. I said, these people, they don't know nothing about the Word of God. There's only two things they know. They know Jesus drank wine, and don't judge anybody. That's about all they know. Woo! And they know them things real well. And you can have studied the Bible for 50 years, but they're experts on it, and you're not. Don't judge nobody. Don't you judge? Oh, you're judging me. I hear that all the time. Amen. You know what? The Bible doesn't forbid judgment. The Bible only forbids hypocritical judgment. As a matter of fact, the Bible has much to say about judgment in its proper place. And it actually, the Bible encourages you and I to judge matters. It does just the opposite of what people think. Amen. Oh, don't you dare say anything about those preachers. I've just said all that about them. You're judging them. Hallelujah. That's the first thing they'll say. You can't judge them. Don't touch God's anointed. I said, they're not anointed. Don't you know heretics are not anointed by the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Come on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right here, folks. Amen. It is absolutely important that we judge matter. As a matter of fact, God created you with a capacity, amen, of self-judgment.
Amen.
You have to judge matters every day. You have to make decisions based on what information you have available to you. If you don't, then you're a foolish person. Yeah. Well, my car's on empty. Do I stop and get gas now, or do I go ahead and drive 100 more miles? You make a judgment. If you choose wrong, you're going to be broke down. Come on. Come on, somebody. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
Amen. When I was a kid, my mama, she exercised judgment over her two boys. Come on. Somebody said, one man came to the church there, a little Assembly of God church we was a part of, and started being friendly with it. And boy, he just seemed like he was perfect. He was giving gifts to all the kids. And man, he always had a pocket full of candy. And he was nice. And he was taking kids camping and hunting and fishing. And boy, I tell you what, and he wanted to take my brother and I. My mama said, absolutely not. You're not going anywhere with that man. Hallelujah. She made a judgment. Did she know? Did she call and get a lot about his past? No. The Holy Ghost spoke to her. Gave her a dream before he got there and said, be careful because a man's coming and he's going to destroy a lot of young children in this church. And when he comes, I want you to protect your boys. Amen. I'm going to tell you, my mom made judgment. Others probably laughed at her and made fun of her and said, you're judging this man. But you know what? He molested a bunch of those boys. But he didn't molest me. And he didn't molest my brother Marty. Why? Because we had a mother that was able to pass judgment. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. And protect our children. Woo, thank God for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You better use judgment. If you don't, you're going to have your children messed up.
Amen.
You're going to get messed up. Hallelujah. It is important that we understand that the Bible does not forbid judgment. Quite the contrary. The Bible actually encourages judgment. The only judgment forbidden in Scripture is hypocritical judgment. I can't judge something if I'm guilty of the same thing.
Amen.
Do you think that a man that's a pedophile comes before a judge that's a pedophile that that's going to be a fair judgment? No. Hallelujah. Jesus did not forbid judgment of any kind with the proclamation of Matthew 7 and 1. Is judgment forbidden by Scripture? Is it a sin to judge? No. First, we need to ask the question, who is Jesus talking to in those verses? If you read all five of those verses, He says, thou hypocrite. Come on. He's not talking to somebody walking in truth. He's talking to somebody walking in lies. Walking in falsehood. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to get up here and preach against adultery and I'm committing adultery, amen, I'm a hypocrite. I have no business telling you to repent of adultery if I'm doing it myself.
Amen.
Well, glory. That's the kind of judgment forbidden in Scripture. Amen. The type of judgment being rendered here, you will see that Jesus was speaking to hypocrites. In this passage, He said, why do you behold? Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Here Jesus, amen, upbraids the hypocrite because he's trying to remove a splinter from someone's eye, but he is guilty of having a beam in his own eye. In other words, this person was worse off than the person that he is judging. Amen. That type of judgment is called hypocritical judgment, and in this passage in Matthew, that's what Jesus is dealing with. We are expressly commanded by Jesus not to exercise hypocritical judgment. And amen, God help us. And if we're going to judge matters, that we do it truthfully. We do it in righteousness. Amen. If we do so, amen, then it's going to be what it should be. Here's what the Bible says about judgment. Psalms 37 and 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. Even Psalms 101 and 1. I will sing of mercy and of judgment. Proverbs 21 and 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable unto the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21 and 15. It is the joy to the just to do judgment. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13. I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such no one not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from you among yourselves that wicked person. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. He tells us to judge those within the church. 1 Corinthians 10 and 15. He said, I speak as to wise men, judge what what I say. 1 Corinthians 11:13, judge in yourselves. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak 2 and 3, and let the others judge. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Hear me this morning. Amen. We must judge matters, or we will fall for the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory. Whoo! The Bible does not, but you hear it all the time. Don't judge people. Hear it all the time. Folks, we are required to make judgment based on the Word of God, based on the speaking of the Holy Ghost into our spirit. But we should always do so righteously. Not unfairly. Come on. But righteously. Filled with truth. Hallelujah. We know that children are not born with a lot of good judgment. That's why we teach them. Don't you take candy from a stranger. You know children, they're easily duped. So we have to teach them. We have to train them how to judge things. Hallelujah. We was in a little store yesterday, and this little boy walked up to my wife and said, "Can you help me find my daddy? Or do you know where my daddy's at?" And she said, "I don't know who your daddy is." Amen. About that time he walked out. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, little children like that, 4 or 5 years old, that's a dangerous world for them to be wandering around by themselves, because they don't have good judgment. So we have to be the judgment for our children. Brother Nikki, you have to make decisions. Sister Shonda, you got to make decisions for them girls. Sometimes they're going to come to you and they're going to say, "Can I go to Jenny's house?" "I don't know Jenny. I don't know about that. I don't know these people. Their daddy might be a pedophile." Come on. Come on, somebody. They might watch pornography on the TV in front of their children. Bet you're judging Jenny's parents. Maybe I am. But I'm also protecting my children. Amen. Come on, somebody. And I have every right to do that. And as a Christian, amen, we have every right to judge matters. We have every right to say, "I'm not going to listen to that kind of preaching." "Oh, but you're judging that preacher." "I don't know. You can call it whatever you want. But I'm not going to sit and listen to an adulterer try to tell me how to live right."
Amen.
"I'm not going to sit and listen to that effeminate man get up in that pulpit and preach to me." Well, come on, somebody. Amen. Well, glory. That man ought to get a haircut before he preaches. Well, glory. You have to judge matters.
Right.
Hallelujah. I read quotes from that person. I read their book. Amen. And they believe in transubstantiation. If you don't know what that is, just leave it at that. Praise God. You probably don't need to know. Oh. That man went over and kissed the Pope's ring. Bowed down to the Pope. I'm not going to listen to him. Whoo. You got to judge matters. If you don't, you're a foolish person. Hallelujah. No, the Bible does not forbid judgment at all. Quite the contrary. What it is the enemy is trying to take away one of the tools that the Holy Ghost has given us to protect ourselves and our churches. He's trying to beat us down until we're so ashamed that we won't judge anything. Amen. But I can tell you, folks, when we do that, we will fall victim to the enemy like so many other churches have. Amen. I have a right to judge every matter by the Word of God. Amen. If it doesn't fit the book, I'm going to stay away from it. Amen. If that church, come on, if that church allows sinful, loose living, I don't want to be a part of it. Why? Amen. Because the Bible says so. Call it judging, call it whatever you want. Amen. But I'm going to stand for truth, even if it upsets somebody.
Amen.
I guess Mama, are you upset that you upset that man? Does it bother you that you upset him when you wouldn't let us go with him? Not a bit. And I'm glad it didn't bother her. Yeah, but you might have hurt his feelings. So what? A pedophile needed his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Come on. Hallelujah. You can't be like that and be a preacher. You're supposed to love everybody. We're Christians. We got to love everybody.
Wow. Does that love mean that we just close our eyes and let the devil run with our children, do whatever he wants?
Come on.
That's not love. You can call it what you want. I call it stupidity. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe our love is so great, Brother Terry, that we love the truth even more than we love anything else. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And my love for Him is greater, amen, than hurting somebody's feelings. Yeah, I said, well, I'll invite my friends here, but you preach so hard. You don't love them. Amen. But have you ever thought for a moment it is love that causes the preacher to tell them what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we see that judgment is not wrong when it's exercised in truth. As a matter of fact, God created us all with a will that must be used to judge. Judgment is a safety mechanism in all of us that protects us from harm. Without this safety mechanism, we would keep falling for the same old tricks of the devil over and over again. Many good Pentecostal holiness churches, just like ours, have fallen into that trap. We don't judge anybody at this church. Come as you are. No perfect people allowed. Just come on in here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're doing whatever. You're homosexual. It's all right. We don't judge you. We won't judge you here. We won't preach against homosexuality. That's wrong, folks. We got to preach the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand with me all over this building.